like watching a white. No emotions, baby, I could care less for the stress. Cut through the money, designer the drip. Don't got a cap, I'm as real as it get. Bet on myself and I triple the flip. Came from the streets, I'ma stick to the script. We popping bottles like we went a trip. Rather fill up accounts than empty a clip. 10 on the ground, so I never slip. They love you, they hate you, I'm watching them switch. Switch, 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 switch. They hate you, they love you, I'm watching them switch. Switch. Yee, yee, yee. Alright, know what it is, it's your boy Chance. We got Rook. Where's on the side? We got Rook. We got Kenny. Be Yourself Podcast, we're here. We're going to do something different today, but we'll get back to the episode later. So make sure you tune in. Hit that subscribe, because the next topic will be, well, we're going to drop the Kobe one on the 24th. And then after that, we'll be dropping either this one or the one we're supposed to shoot today, which would be who can use the N-word. But we're going to wait for our boy JJ to get up in here so we can have more people on this topic. But I figure we do this for y'all today. If you followed me and the stuff that I've done before, then this should be cool for you. If you have it, then this might be really narcissistic. But if you don't know, I used to do music. I used to have albums out, blah, 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 tour, all that good shit. I used to act behind the scenes, big movies, big TV shows, all that shit. Taylor's bored already, so I'll try to get through this mad quick. But basically, I'm going to ask me some questions of the transition. Hopefully, some of you younger cats that are trying to get into the music game or into acting or even podcasting, you know, we'll drop some gems for you. So I'll subscribe, Patreon. All that good stuff. Everything's in there.
Rook, I'm going to let you leave, but I'm just going to make a side note real quick. Narcissistic is one of those words in society nowadays that because everyone knows it and everyone thinks they're a therapist, everyone uses it. That's not how you use it. Arrogance is just one aspect of narcissism. If you were a narcissist, I definitely would not be working with you. I have enough of those people in my life as there already. You get a little arrogance to you, a little confidence to you, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's definitely not the same thing as being a narcissist. Narcissists are usually, you know, like serial killers or surgeons. Or CEOs.
They are the most professional of the professional assholes.
Correct.
So, we're our sponsors, but this right here.
Let's try not to be sponsored for show.
It's called Cremo. It's for your beard. I'll put it in the description box. It makes your shit smell minty fresh. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. But go ahead, lead the way and let's get it going.
Yo, Chance got to take us back to the beginning real quick. What put you on that J. Cole path, bringing you from Carolina to New York?
I like the question, but I was before J. Cole. But,
Yes, it was.
So it really wasn't, well, it was music, sort of. But I remember me and my cousin, Louis. Shout out to Louis, Rook No Louis. Mr. Boxer, personal trainer, L.A., I think he might have changed his name on Instagram, so I'll put that later. But so we were in Florida, and we had a meeting at the crib, and we were like, yo, Florida ain't it. Like, let's go to New York. Let's shoot our shot. Try to make our dreams come true. What do you want to do? He wanted to box at the time, so because he was putting in the work, being an amateur boxer, and we were doing that shit, doing his little professional meets and all that shit. And I was like, well, I want to do the acting. I was like, so it's either L.A. or New York. And then we decided, like, we don't really know shit about L.A. We know a little more about New York because, obviously, you know, I'm from there and it's possible from there, all that shit. So we came up with a plan. We said, we're going to save this amount of money. We're going to go see the place, see what we want, and then go from there. And everything just was hitting the way it was supposed to hit. So we felt like it was supposed to be. The money came when it was supposed to come. We found a place just like that, like, everything was dope. So we got the U-Haul packed up and then we took it to New York. And I had a friend, which you guys seen on the podcast previously. We've rebranded it. So, you know, maybe I'll throw it as a throwback. But our friend of the channel, Bleezy, he was a friend of the family. And I just hit him up one day because we had talked before when I was in Florida, he was in New York. I was like, if we ever cross, like, let's do some music together. He was like, cool. So I hit him up. I was like, bro, never guess. Here, I'm in Flatbush. He was like, word? He was like, yeah. He's like, come through. So I went to the BX, started doing music. Not everybody in the crew, Gamo, was fucking with the kid at first. You know what I mean? But it was a cool little fit. And then just started doing music.
That is a great transitional point. Why was everybody in the crew not fucking with you at the beginning?
Well, to basically piggyback off what Kenny said in the beginning, because there's a little arrogance to me and a confidence about me. The way I'm designed is, besides the driven point of it, I'm very confident in myself, especially when there's something that I want to do. So I'm competitive, like OD competitive. So I thought being that way with people would fuel, like, iron sharpens iron. That's the way that I thought it would be. With Bleazy, it was kind of that way. Maybe they didn't take it that way because they didn't know me. I was basically like Bleazy's friend. So it was like, oh, so this your dude, and he already come here popping shit. Because I'm not gonna lie, first day I came in, I was doing my thing, and I literally told, like, Gamma will tell you, I think he might have said it before, I literally said, I'm nicer than all you niggas. Oh, we're supposed to be leaving that work. I'm nicer than all you cats, like all y'all. And I meant it from a perspective as just being competitive. Like, you know, I'm the nicest. You can't mess with me on the pen. Like, let's go. Because I'm never talking about you personally. That's like, I know you like that, and then we can get into that. It's strict, like we talk about the wrestling, Kenny. Like, it's never the person. It's just the character of what we're doing. So my character as an artist is, I'm that dude. And then, you know, the influences, you, I think you already know, I mean, we can talk about later, was Prince and Pac. So with those two influences, like, that wasn't me. So Gamo didn't really take to that. So he was a little upset. So he didn't like that. And then some of the other cats, we can talk about that maybe enough later, but some of the cats was mad because I was having certain ladies that they were after that didn't go their way and went my way, and that didn't really go too well for them. So there was animosity there. I hear what you're saying.
I said, I imagine that didn't go too well, depending on how that went down. So you mentioned something. You said iron sharpens iron. That's something, you know, I box a little bit here and there. And that's one of the things we say in the gym. But one of the things about iron sharpens iron is, first of all, everyone got to be iron. Everyone not made the same stuff. So if you ain't iron, you can't sharpen iron, and you can't get sharpened by iron. And so that's part of the problem. So you ever come across, like, maybe, you know, when you first got there, something like that, you thought someone was somewhere, like, because you say competitive, but as a person who's also competitive, mostly in sports, you know, especially because, you know, I'm shorter than most people. I've always had that little man complex. Like, you not for a little bro me. I don't care how big you are or anything. I'm finna show you what I got. So you ever try to, like, you seen someone you thought was maybe around your level, and you try to give them, like, that iron sharp iron, they took it the wrong way, and it was like, yeah, I ain't fucking with this dude. You think it was anything like that? Or was it like, you know, he just think he too full of himself? Like, they just didn't see what you were seeing at all?
I think Gamo kind of said that too. I think it's because they didn't know me. So I think it's kind of different when you don't know someone and they come in the room that way. Because, I mean, I don't know if we're talking about it later, depending on, you know, you guys' questions. But it was kind of the same way when I came into the acting thing. And I was doing, when I started as a PA, which is a production assistant, which is kind of the low of the low when it comes into the movie business. I remember I'm really cool with, I might drop this episode too. We did an episode with Brian. He was like the lead hairstylist. And what was that show that we watched? It was on HBO?
We're going to spot that right now.
Okay, well, whatever. He was like the lead. He was like the lead hairstylist on that. It was with your boy Jonathan Majors. But he was the lead hairstylist that he got a nomination for Emmy and all that good stuff. But Brian Bidet, he basically told me the same thing, like, when I left, because some sets I couldn't come back to. But he also said what I think Gamo was saying is, some people have a certain aura to them that doesn't work for everybody. Like, you'd have to know that person to be like, oh no, that's just him. Like, I get it. I see what he's doing. Like, I see where he's coming from. But if you don't know, it could kind of, like, what's the word? It could kind of, not offset, but it kind of, like, just make people standoffish. Cause they, like, my confidence is so high that I guess it comes off a certain way. Like, I was coming to set fresh to death, talking about Jordans, like dunks, like just coming to set like I was a movie star, and I wasn't. I was just
how about you? That was my next question. I understand, because I know music and I got a lot of dudes in music, various parts of it, and I can understand how you step toes and stuff. I was about to say, how you step on toes as a PA, because I'm gonna need examples specifically, because I not only do I not know much about movies and stuff, that just sounds wild to me. Like, that I don't understand.
So I had my locks at the time. Shout out, that's where I met Rook. I'm surprised he didn't bring that up first because his mom's helped my lock gang. My lock gang was trash when I first got there from Florida, and she made me look
getting there.
She made me look fresh. Yeah, why are you sideways on the interview? So then she fixed that up. So I used to come with my locks. And then if you know about New York, New York's all fashion, especially in the wintertime. Like if it's cool if you can dress in the summertime, but if you can dress in the winter, that means you're real like swaggy. So I used to come with my scarf. I used to come with the jackets, with the fits, the jeans, like I said, the Jordans, the Dunks at the time. So for a PAP, it's usually roll out of bed, like regular tee, regular jeans, regular boots, regular jacket. So I was basically coming off like I was the dude on set. So they didn't really kind of like that. I was known to, and like I said this in a thing before, it's not to glorify, it's just to give y'all examples. But I was known for taking certain actresses or background people or even local people after the show to certain places, though.
My man's Leonardo DiCaprio on the set now.
They like the way I was moving. Like, it's just kind of who I was, so, or kind of who I am. Like, I don't know.
You got beef with Tom Hanks, too?
No, man, I don't think I ever worked with Tom Hanks.
Oh, all right. So you're not that far Leonardo DiCaprio.
But yeah, that was more so. I just came to say like I owned it. And then I was one of those dudes that I think we watched the clip about Kenya Martin. As a PA, you're supposed to basically be the low of the low. Like it's like every day is hazing. Like people, there's depending on what set you are, because you can work on good sets that everyone is treated like with respect, which those are the sets I love. And then you can get sets to where the directors, the ADs, some of the keys, so some of the second ADs just treat you like you ain't shit. And they'll be like, go get coffee. Or go get this. Go get me some oatmeal or some shit like that. I wasn't doing it. I'm like, nah, I'm not doing that. And I'll tell somebody else to go do it. So you're not supposed to do that, but I did it. Then I would have days where I got hip to the game to when I knew that they were only fucking with me on certain days because it was a rainy day or it was a snowy day. So they wanted me to be in that kind of environment. So I would look at the weather. When they would book me for a gig, like, hey, we want you to be an additional on this set, like blah blah blah. I would look at the weather. I'm like, oh, it's gonna rain all day, or it's gonna be nah. I'm cool. I'm not doing it. Like you can call me on a sunny day, on a nice day where everybody's out together, you can call me on that. But if it's raining and all that, nah. If I respected you, I would go. But like I said, it was only because I knew certain people that hired me were doing it for a reason. So, but if I fuck with you, I don't care what weather, how many hours you wanted me to stay. Like, you know, you treat your people good, then. You know, you get good workers.
Okay. You part of that personality also comes off as like you had a little bro who's in doggy heaven right now by the name of Scrap. Named him after Scrappy Doo. That personality that you carry sometimes doesn't it remind yourself of Scrappy Doo? All right. You come in, Scrappy's in everybody's grill. Let me at him. All right, I could do it all. I could best them all. All right, there's nothing I can't do and accomplish and all that stuff. And on occasion, Scooby's like, yo, bro, go down a notch. Like, chill. All right, you my mans, though, but chill. You couldn't have scaled it back a little bit? You ain't no moments where you thought that?
I mean, you know, they always say hindsight is 20/20. Like looking now, like I would know, well, I know that there's some things that I did OD and there's certain times that I should have played the game the way it's supposed to be playing, like, you know, strategically. And I wasn't like that. Like I was the kind of person, my dude was Pac. Like I was fly off the handle. If I know you tried to play me, like I'm going to let you know you tried to play me and I'm going to like pop off. So I know there's certain things I could have did. Like, I probably would have been in the game longer had I, you know, moved strategically. But the game in, this is just acting. I don't know about music like that because I was in those circles that deep. But when it comes to the movie shit, the people that hire you, it's like a fraternity type thing. They want to know that you're going to go to the bars with them all day. Get drunk all day, like hang out all day. They want to know that you're going to go, depending on what choice of drug it is, that you're going to do it all day that certain lower PAs are going to sleep with certain people up top just to move the way they move. And I wasn't about that. Like, Rook kind of knows anyway, like, I'm not really a people person. So I don't desire to be around a lot of people, nor do I desire to be in a bar all day drinking when I'm not really a drinker like that. You know what I mean? So it just wasn't my scene. So a lot of that came to where, oh, we're not going to hire him because he don't like to party with us. And that's cool. Oh, we're not going to hire him because he's got locks. That's a thing in the industry.
Yeah,
sure. You know, so certain people are in certain positions because of certain things, and certain people aren't. Because I know a lot of dope-ass keys, second ADs, who could probably be first ADs, but they're not because of, you know, what they look like.
And it just call it what it is. Yo, it's politics as usual, yo.
Yeah, so that threw me off, and I didn't really like that. But, yeah, to answer the question, basically, because I was long-winded, like, yeah, I could have probably scaled back. I probably could have did things different. But at that time, as a young Chance, I didn't give a shit. I was, you said something, I was going to pop off back.
I mean, during this time, while all of this is happening, though, you're still in this place of ascension. Like, you got things moving, interviews and opportunities and ink.
Yeah, I love the ink.
I love the urban ink.
That was probably like my first moment to where I was like, I might be on my way. Because initially, the dude for Urban Ink had hit me up and then was like, do you want to like be in a magazine? So I looked at the magazine before. Not going to lie, I never really paid attention before, but I started looking into it. And then I noticed like a lot of local people wanted to come up. They had like little articles, like maybe like a little small, like 4x4 picture in there. And then that was it. They might have their name, whatever, but that was it. It was nothing more than like a little ass picture and like, boom. So I was like, to me, it was just like, all right, cool, whatever. So I'll do it. Like, it'll be my first come up. So I was waiting. And then the dude in Brooklyn, Flatbush, 2Train, I used to always come up because there was like a newsstand downstairs where you're waiting for the train. Is that still there?
It's there. Still in Newkirk Station.
Yeah, so I used to always go down. I was cool. And I was like, yo, I'm about to be in this magazine. So let me know when this next issue drops. And he was just like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, like basically, yeah, sure. Everybody in New York says that. So every day I would ask him, no. So one day I didn't even ask him. I just came. And then he was like, yo, he's like, you came. He's like, you are in it. So I was like, oh, shit, that's cool. So he saw me. He found my little 2-inch picture. Dope. So then I'm scrolling through it. I see this big ass spread of Jim Jones. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Jimmy's in here. That's dope. So then as soon as I flip the page, bro, I'm in a full page, like both sides. Super big picture, in-depth interview. And I was like, wow. Like, that is crazy. Like, they got me in a magazine, like, really, that's nobody. Like, right after Jim Jones. Right after.
Yeah, but I have a question. But if you did the interview that they put in there, why did you think it was only going to be a little picture, a little thing, if you did a whole however long interview?
Because I've seen other people's, and it appeared, just the way that the game was so far in New York and being in the industry, I learned that a lot of people say things and a lot of people take you down that road and then end up cutting your shit. So even though I got an interview, I felt like, okay, so they probably won't use it. They'll probably just put my picture. They might say two things like Chance, rapper, Flatbush, boom, and that's it. So I didn't really know that they were going to go in there because I've went through that before to where I thought I had a fly interview, even in like an internet magazine type shit. I mean, they didn't even use it. And I was just like, all right, well, that was a waste of time. That's what I kind of thought. But when that happened, bro, I'm on the phone with moms. I think I bought like, I don't know, like 10 articles and 10 magazines there. And I was just taking it a set like, bro, which probably rubbed people the wrong way too. Because I was like, yo, I'm in a magazine. So while they're on set, like making their living, I'm like, I got some other shit going on. And that's another thing about that. People don't like people trying to be something else in that industry. If you're working as a PA or some in some kind of whatever in that world, they don't want you to seem like you're betting yourself. Or at least that's the way it was back then. Oh, you're a rapper, or you're doing music, or oh, you're a photographer. Cool shit. Well, we're not doing that here. So it's kind of like
anything that you can plug in, you could or try to plug in.
Yeah,
there with the actors or somebody or a producer. Yeah, they hated that shit.
I think that goes back to the fraternity thing. I think it's like, since you're supposed to be down here, you're not really contributing anything to the industry. You're supposed to be just doing this until you say, okay, we said you good now. Now you do all the other stuff and say, oh, you do this and that, not that and this. It goes back to a whole lot of that frat stuff. And we could do a whole thing on that, whether it be regular frats, the military, police, all types of different ways that our frats could cover the title. But that might be a different episode.
I think it was an
asshole type era, though. Like, chances on something with that. Like, a lot of people tried to control where you was at, and some of them people didn't want to see you climb at all. So you coming back with that magazine is like, oh, so he, you know, he is making them stepping stones. Like he's climbing. Fuck this dude some more. Instead of like, oh, I, you know, yeah. I'll give you that. You can have your moment.
I think that's a good point that Kenny said too, with the frat mentality. I think that's another reason why I rub people wrong, because I came in like, even though I know I did for the Bills, obviously, I came in basically like, I don't need you. Like, I don't need to work here. And other people that were PAs, it was
their whole like heart's dream.
It's yeah, like their whole and it was life. Like, it was like ass kissing. Like, please, like, don't fire me. What do you need me to do? You need me to grab a coke? You need me to grab this? Like, how many ice cubes you need? I got you. And I wasn't like that. I was like, bro, fine.
Ice cubes.
Mm-hmm. So some senses like that. Like, I need my coffee a certain way. I need this to be the way it is. If it ain't this brand, I'm sending your ass back.
Every job ain't for everybody. And that definitely ain't for me.
Yeah, and they saw that. I wasn't, like, I literally would be like, yo, fire me. Like, cool. But I've been like that all my life, too. Like, military, like, I think the one job I had was at the grocery store at Kroger's. I was always like that. Like, and I'm not saying it's good, but I was just always like that. Like, if I don't agree with how you were approaching me, I'll just let you fire me, bro. Like, I'm cool. You're not gonna act a certain way toward me just because you feel like you're him.
You don't gotta value me. I value me. I'll figure it out. Fuck that.
So that was that.
How long you did you compare to to movies?
How long was I in that?
Yeah, like time. Like, I know there's some overlap, but just overall each.
Well, the funny thing is it was like 10 years. But the funny thing is I wasn't even going to do that. My first gig I went to, I was trying to be a background actor. Like, I was trying to work my way into being acting. So I took a background role in a Catherine Zeta-Jones movie called The Rebound. And that's where I met my boy Cash. And Cash was, he was a PA. So I get there, I'm doing my thing. Me and Cash are talking, and Cash is kind of has the same personality, very outgoing, very big presence. So we just vibe mad quick. So he's like, "Yo, let me get your number, bro." So I gave him a number. He's like, "I'm gonna hit you up and see if you ever want to do this." I was like, "All right, whatever." So I didn't think nothing of it. So he had called me one day. He said, "Yo, I'm doing an independent movie. I think I forgot the dude's name. Mad famous the dude that played in A Few Good Men with Tom Cruise and Demi Moore, the other dude, Kevin Pollak. It was an independent movie with him, whatever. And he was like, yo, I'm doing an independent movie. Like, do you want to come PA? And I was like, I don't really know what that is, bro. Like, you didn't really tell me. And he was like, oh, you know, it's basically you get paid. I think at the time, I'll drop it now because I think it went up for them finally. But I think at the time it was like $150 a day. So he said, oh, you get paid $150 a day. You're there between 10 to 16 hours, depending. And then, you know, that's it. And I was like, all right, cool. So I'm not thinking the hours. I'm just thinking movie business, $150 a day. Cool. When you break down the math, ain't really good. But for me, $150 a day in New York was like, okay, cool. I made $150. So if I work that whole show, it's gonna even out. Like, I'm going to get bread because I'm going to pay rent, right? And I'm going to have money left over. So I did it. And besides the politics, it was actually fun. And it was easy and it was cool as fuck. So that one gig turned into, the way you get in that game is either school, which most people don't do, or word of mouth. Someone has to refer you in that's already in. So since I already had the end, I just kept on jumping from different sets of Law and Order, where I met Ice-T, to like different movies, Nurse Jackie and shit like that. I just kept on going down the list.
Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods was last. I mean, I guess maybe we'll fast forward there later. But Blue Bloods was only to show my kids that I really was that dude. Because I would tell them about it. And, you know, you get the, oh, yeah, it's cool. We remember. You were sure. And I was like, I'll go right now. And I'll show you that. I'll be on set. I'll show you people. And like, yeah, okay. So then I ended up going to Blue Bloods right before COVID started. We were in the middle of ending that last season. And when COVID started, we had to wrap it up shorter. But, you know, it was basically just to show my kids, like, I do this. Like, don't play me. So it is what it is.
All right. So, yo, Kenny, how you feel about freestyles?
I've always loved freestyles.
All right. And how do you feel about them, you know, in comparison, let's say, like, mid-90s, early 2000s to now? You sense the difference?
Honestly, I mean, besides, you know, boys that I know personally, I don't think freestyling is around the way. Like, back in the day, not only was it an art, it was like you kind of had to do it. And even if you couldn't, you at least played like you could. Like, yeah, the pen was powerful, but, boy, you know, especially, I mean, when I was coming up, Wayne, Jay-Z, all these dudes talking about, oh, I ain't never write no nothing down. I'm like, these dudes crazy. Which mean? It's what, because then that's what I think that kind of, like, elevated a little bit. And you had battle rap right behind it. Because these dudes didn't just, oh, sometime freestyle were pretty good. These dudes say they've never written anything down. I think at least for me, that was a little different compared to, like, oh, yeah, you can freestyle out there. And then, you know, if somebody recorded, good, you got it. If someone didn't, we'll never hear about it again. No one cares. Now, boy, you miss a freestyle, and that's your ass. Because that's it's on a track. That's on a mixtape. Even though mixtapes ain't what they used to be. Ahead, Wayne, don't let it go to waste.
Go ahead,
yeah,
bro.
It's recorded. It's live.
You said that to say what?
I'd have said that to say Chance didn't show up somewhere because he don't freestyle. And I was like, bruh, the amount of rappers that write they freaking freestyle and just, you know, swing that to whatever beat they managed to play.
That's why I mentioned the you act like you could.
See, but to me,
something you wrote down something before.
To me, I believe in being authentic. And I just knew that wasn't my thing. Like, I'm ill with the pen. At least to me, I think. I can't freestyle. And I thought it was disrespecting. I mean, obviously, like you said, people have done it before. But I thought it was just disrespectful to pretend, especially in that era, to pretend like I was freestyling when I really wasn't. I was just spitting a written that I had already had. So I just knew that just wasn't my thing. So I was like, I'm not going to look dumb, because if I actually freestyle, it's going to look really trash. It's going to look like I really can't rap, and it's going to be bad. So I'd rather just, yo, I'll write my joints. You pick up the mixtape, you pick up the albums, and you'll see that I can write.
Not for you, obviously not the same thing, but again, at least in my neighborhoods, everyone, right? Even JJ rap a little bit. I'm not joking about that. Like, he'll freestyle. He don't care over any beat, whatever. And it used to be like when we was younger, when all them boys, like fresh out of high school, all of them work for Publix. I've mentioned this before. JJ's manager right now. He's right there forever, but he's not the only one. A lot of my friends did. I'm basically, like, you asked my girlfriend, I'm basically the only one out of the friend group, because even my girlfriend worked there. I'm the only one out of the friend group who's either never, but everyone who worked at Publix know me because I know all of them. So sometimes back then, you know, everyone had whips. I always had a whip. Sometimes, you know, I'd be the one pick up them boys from work. And, you know, they close at midnight. They in the parking lot just going at it. Like, Kenny, go ahead. I'm not here to look stupid. I'm sorry. That's not my thing. So I feel that it's not the same level. But it's just not my thing. Like, I love rap. I love battle. I love all that. But that's never – I'm cool. The thing is, DJing was always my thing when it came to music. So you give me some things. I'll spin some shit together, do some mixing. That'll look pretty cool. I could do that. But so as far as – On the mic, I could MC a little bit, but we don't think I'm from the freestyle. That's not gonna happen.
Damn, so no lunchroom freestyles is for me up in here.
Oh no, I'm the one doing the beat on the lunch table.
That was some shit. Like that was the spot right there. Damn, that was different. But
give me two pins, so let's go.
Yo, Chance, it could have been like a half freestyle. Let's look back at this real quick. You wrote some shit. You ain't put it to no
that's
beat.
That's the funniest thing I could imagine, because I ain't never seen you do that before. So,
because I've tried it before, and it sounded so bad that I was like, "Yo, I'm gonna look so horrible. Like, I'm just not gonna do it."
You ever rap some shit that you wrote over another beat that you weren't expected to rap on?
I'm pretty sure I have for like a radio show that I know, an internet radio show that I told them I didn't want to freestyle, and they did it anyway. So I had to do something really quick. And then I might have lasted maybe 10, 12 seconds in, and then I fucked it up. And I was like, you just sit. I'm good. But I had
a, ah,
so I've done.
But that's what your freestyle pretty much is, you know, or could have been. You could have wrote some shit. And, yo, whatever beat came on, yo, look, yo, how do I make this motherfucker fit?
I mean, I get it, but it's like Kenny said, like, my dudes I was looking at was, like, Jay, Wayne, M. So I was just like, I'm going to disrespect them pretending I'm freestyling when I really ain't. You know what I mean? Because so then let's say my career would have went in a different trajectory, and then it would have been like, yo, this dude can freestyle. Like,
imagine if that's what made you blow up. And it's like, all right, now the whole thing is your career.
Hot mic.
Yeah. And then it would have been the quickest L ever. So, what am I thinking?
My laptop finna die. I got another one. So I consider myself a bit of a jack of all trades, kind of. I think part of my ADHD. It don't let me focus on anything long enough to be a master besides sports. That shit hooked me. But you ever feel like if you would have stuck to one, you could have done a lot better than what you ended up doing? Because again, you experienced everything you had to experience, but it's experience and like locking in are different. If you know what I mean. So you feel like you could have just like. Yeah, you saw that chance to go do the acting thing, but you could be like, nah, let me just knuckle down on this music thing. Or vice versa. You was doing both of you, just something to tell you, oh, let me pick this one instead of the other. You ever feel like you could have done that instead?
I think that's a tricky question. Because I believe there's obviously truth to when you lock into something, like you have no choice but to be great at it because you're consistently at it.
There's arguments for both sides. I've had both.
Yeah, but definitely. But I just, the way my mind is and the creative thing that I have, like, I believe there's something you want to try. Because I believe we're only here once. Like, that could be a different podcast from the time. But I believe we're only here once and, you know, do as much as you dream until you're gone. And my dreams were always to be like Puck. It was always to do music and to act. And those are the things that I wanted to do. I felt like music to me was easy. Again, clearly the career didn't go a certain way because probably some of y'all watching this can be like, okay, dude, I don't know you, which is cool. But if you listen to the albums, I think you'll be like, damn, he was underrated. Like, he should have went. But writing music to me, I don't know about now because I haven't done it in a while, but at the time, it was easy. Like, don't really know how to describe it. It's like when a beat came on, it's like words in my brain just were there. And then they just started to find a way to where I wanted them to go. It was just that easy. If I heard the illest beat, like if we get into it, Rupert would say, like, there's one thing I can do for sure. Maybe I can't rap the best. Maybe I don't have the best punchlines, but I could pick a beat. So when the
fuck yeah.
When the perfect beat was there, I could write a song maybe 5 minutes.
That was gonna be one of my questions when we talk about the freestyle. What's the quickest you ever wrote a song? Because if you could do that, you probably could have made that freestyle thing that Rick was talking about. But we don't gotta go back down that road.
Yeah, so I could write it real quick. So that was easy. So that was nothing. The acting thing is, I don't think I really went all in on acting. I think I half-assed acting.
I was about to say. So you think you wanted music more, even though it was easier for you? You think you attacked that more than you did? Or was the politics easier? Because you said you didn't go that deep into the politics from music. So since you didn't have to worry about the politics, you think that made it easier, maybe?
Yeah, the music was definitely easier. I wanted music more at the time. Acting to me was like, yo, I'm already in the door, so this should be easy. And I was getting shit just to get it, but it was also politics as well. Like, I didn't really get roles until I cut my locks off. Like, the only roles I was getting when I had my locks were a thug one, thug two, criminal. That's all I was getting. So I was like, if I'm going to take this serious, I got to cut my locks. So I cut my locks. And then I started getting different roles. Like, I could be a college student. I could be anything else, just different. I could play a cop if I want to play a cop, a detective, whatever. So it changed. But I still didn't really take it serious because music was just doing great things for me. I had a clothing line, my music was selling, we were doing shows. And then, like I said, I was also working in the TV business, like as a PA. Then I moved up to like a key and some things. So the money was there. So this is like, I really don't have to act because I got music money and I got TV money. But eventually, when I was trying to do the acting thing, like for real, I guess I was like over the whole entertainment thing. So I kind of just gave it a break. And then I wanted to go be a personal trainer in New York Sports Load.
Yeah, it was so left how, New York how, for a little minute.
How'd you go from TV and acting to a personal trainer?
Well, personal trainer has always been in my family. Like, you know, like, my uncle was a personal trainer, still, well, not more, but he was a personal trainer. He was a boxer in the Navy. My cousin was a boxer, then went to New York to be the personal trainer. So, and then, you know, we all work out at times. So I wasn't unfamiliar with working out, but I just started paying attention to what they were doing. And I always shoot my shot. Like, I didn't have really no knowledge, but I just went to New York Sports Club and I was like, look, my family is trainers. I know what to do. I passed your test, I can do it. And New York Sports Club, like at the time, I don't know if it is what it is now, but the only two gyms that were popping in New York were New York Sports Club and Equinox.
Have you got
into Equinox?
One, but all right.
Well, I said at the time. I don't. What's the other one now?
No. At that time, yeah. New York Sports Club, Equinox was like exclusive as fuck. None of us was going there.
Still.
You know, exactly.
There's only two Equinoxes in Miami. One is in Aventura Mall, not too far from my house, but don't misconstrue that. I just happen to live not too far from there. I do not belong in that area. And the other one is in Miami Beach, very far from my house. So, yeah, exclusive is not. Like, I have a homeboy who used to work there. If he wears Equinox shirt, girls flirt with him just because of the shirt. I swear to God.
So I basically shot my shot. I almost got into Equinox. I just didn't get into Equinox because I didn't have the right certification.
You would still be working there.
I had a different certificate, probably. I don't know. But I had a different certification. They wanted something different. That's why I didn't get into Equinox. So I was like, yo, if I can almost get into exactly what you said, the exclusive joint, I know I can get New York Sports Club. So I went to New York Sports Club, I shot my shit, and they said, all right, cool, you're hired. And I just started working there.
It's fucking lit in there. All right. Legendary New York Sports Club. Y'all don't know.
Sunny Side, Queens, that's where I was.
Yo, Kenny got to know about the night of the concert, son.
I don't even remember that, to be honest. Interesting thing. I asked Gamo and I asked Bleazy, what do y'all do to perform? Like, do y'all get drunk? Do y'all smoke? Like, what do y'all do? And they said, maybe like a nice little shot or something. I was like, all right, that's cool. That's what's up. I'll do that. I'll go to the bar and see what's up. So I go to the bar. I don't know who said it or how it came up, but someone said Long Island iced tea. I said, oh, okay, never had that before. I'll try that. Let me get one of those. Man's gave me one. Sip it. If anybody knows me, if it's sweet, I love it, which is why I love Blue Moon. So I had a sip of the Long Island iced tea, and it tastes like juice. So I just gulped it. I said, let me get another one. So he gave me another one. I gulped that. I said, let me get Tres Mas, one more. So I'm on the third one, and Lionel comes. And I don't know that many people that know Lionel, because Lionel don't usually be around. Lionel came like, with the husky voice.
Bro, what you doing?
So I'm getting saucy, brother. Like, I'm about to perform. He said, what you drinking? I said, I had Long Island iced tea. He said, how many? I said, like, this is about to be my third one. He said, oh, no, you done. You done. That's it. I was like, what you mean? And then he tells Bleazy, like, Bleazy, my dad. Bleazy comes over. He said, bro, what are you doing? I said, I'm getting saucy. He said, nah, bro, like, you about to be in the Matrix. You don't know what's going on. I was like, whatever. So, yeah, maybe about 10 minutes later, I don't really recall. Like, I remember being on a stage. And I remember doing my thing. But you know what's cool? It's probably great that happened, because I'm performing my song. Most of the people that are there, yeah, I got a couple for me, but most of them are there for Bleazy and the other acts that we invited to be there, like to help sell tickets. So they were there for them. So they didn't really know my songs. And at that time, I didn't really make super, like, things that could be like club bangers. They were just like kind of lyrical. So nobody was really like, I don't really know him, but that shit is crazy. So I'm probably thinking, if I wasn't saucy, I probably would have seen a lot of people like while I was performing, and it probably would have threw me off and like fucked me up. But since I was so saucy, I was in my element. I was saying what I had to say, and then I was done. So to me, it was amazing. But I don't really remember. I don't remember what happened after, how I got off the stage, when it closed down, how I got home, because I don't even know if I drove. Like, I don't know what happened.
I'm going to call Cap on one thing. He said he ain't have no songs to really play in the club like that. He had one, and it was featuring his heavy-hitting-ass friends from the Bronx. That shit banged in the club that night.
Which one was
it? For damn sure. I think that nigga was holding his breath while he was rapping. But other than that,
what song was it? Because me and Bleazy and Gama a couple.
It's the one on.
Is it the Get It How You Gotta?
Yeah. That's how I was getting. Yeah, niggas be acting like they. Yep.
Jordan. Yeah, that was bad.
Done. That shit clicked. You know, I knew you was fucked up because you didn't see how everybody was rocking.
Yeah, I was messed up. But yeah, that night, and then that's the only two times that has happened. That night and my birthday. You came to my birthday one time, right, Rook? When everyone was getting me with shots, like Henny shots.
Oh, nope. Thank God I missed that.
Bro, let me tell you. It's my birthday, New Year's.
Impossible.
We all gone. Shots all day of Henny. It's the first time I blacked out. Like, I don't know what happened. They said that they were holding me up when we were trying to go to the last club. They were holding me up like Weekend at Bernie's. And my man was like, your man cannot come in. Like, no. So they turned us away. They said I pulled my shit out in the street, started pissing.
Yep, that's blackout.
They said that someone got me a sandwich because they were trying to give me food. I go, he needs food. And I guess somebody got me ham or some shit. I don't eat ham. So I took the ham out. I was like, I don't eat that shit. I was just throwing it out, just eating the bread. I know who I went home with, but I don't know how I got there. And I remember to the next morning when we woke up. But yeah.
Been there.
Gone. Done.
Oh, boy.
So how do we get out of this and get into hashtag girl dad?
Yeah. So I feel like from what I know, being as old as I am now, parenting is the least rewarding and hardest job of all. You've worked these multiple difficult jobs. How is it going from those? Because I'm not sure the timeline why, but you're a lot more of a dad now than you were then, obviously, even though all your kids ain't, you know, babies. So how do you go from that, you know, work? I mean, you still work, obviously, but it's not the same. Like, how does that work for you? Obviously, it's hard. I don't even need to ask you what's harder, because I know it's harder, because I've been the rough child for parents. I know it. Even good kids are hard.
Well, I think I'm blessed because we do what we do as far as like podcasts and shit like that. So I don't have to be somewhere physically 9 to 5. So my girls do gymnastics. So I'm there 24/7. Well, not 24/7, but basically every day. I think the kids came at the right time. They definitely came at the right time. I wrote the story before. I wrote a semi book. It's on Amazon. But at the time that my kids came in my life, I was pretty much lost. I quit acting, quit doing music, quit doing everything. I was with someone, didn't work out. So we've all been there before. When you're with someone, it doesn't work out. For some reason, you feel like your life is over. So you don't do shit, but you don't eat. You pretty much turn into castaway, like Tom Hanks. So I was going to that state. So I was living in Miami, basically like a zombie. I was just existing, like no substance in it whatsoever. I felt like I had no purpose. So when my kids came into my life, I felt like it gave me life. Like it gave me a purpose. It made me believe I was supposed to do something. And then at the time that I had them, I feel like it was the perfect time, because had I had kids when I was young, I don't think it would have worked out the way that it did. But since I was so experienced, and as far as life-wise, and I knew what I've been through and what I didn't want to go through, and then I also weighed the stuff with my mom and dad, I kind of took what I loved that they did and try to minimize the things that I didn't like they did. So I don't really know if I answered the question, but basically, I don't know. Like, it doesn't really seem like a job, like work. Like, it's obviously tiring because it's all day. Like, you can't tell your kids, like, leave my house.
Yeah, I know for, like, example, like, your kids are homeschooled. So it's like your job is, like, really all day. Like,
yes, yeah, so like, they're homeschooled. But the crazy thing is, I know us parents say it, like, can't wait till these kids are gone. I really don't feel like that. Like, I may say it to be funny, but I really don't want my kids to leave. Like, I feel like it's a part of it. Like, it's me. So I love seeing them. I love seeing their face. So, like, to me, it's weird. Like, I understand when you don't get along with your significant other and you guys have to separate. I get that. Not everyone's supposed to be together, and shit happens. You know, whether it's cheating or you just grow apart, shit happens.
Yeah.
But I don't see how you can make something and then just act like you never did. Like, that's weird. That's weird. It's weird to me. Because the part of the, like, the greatest moments of my life have been watching my kids from this age grow to this age and seeing everything that they're learning. Like, everything that, how their brain is evolving, like, little things they do that I do, little things that they do that their mom does. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's weird to me how you wouldn't want to be a part of your kid's life growing up. So that's weird to me. So I don't know the answer to your question, but I don't know. It's not really hard, but yeah, it's tiring at times because I want to do certain things. I can't, because, like, you know, we do a wrestling podcast. Yeah, you know that. And Raw and SmackDown were in Orlando, like, a while back. I couldn't go because I was at gymnastics. So I couldn't just be like, nah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it has the moments where, you know, it's tiring and we all get frustrated at times. But to me, it's like, this is what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be, you know, showing them what I learned and how to navigate them.
Not for that. I think for me, because, you know, a lot of my friends have kids, and I've got both sides of that token you're talking about. I got some really involved parents. I got some people who are just providers, like, you know, here's a paycheck. We together and everything, but, you know, I'm really just here to pay you. I don't really want to do anything else as far as kids or wifey concerned, all types of stuff. And then I got the app and see completely for a couple of my friends, and less said about that, because, you know, your mom always say, if you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. But I do think, for me, you mentioned something, you said, you mixing what your parents did, what you liked and what you didn't like. Is that something, because I do think that's something that's part of my plan. Like, your easiest example on what to parent off of, especially what not to do, but you focus a lot on what not to do based on your parents. You think there's anything specifically that your parents did do that you was like, oh, I got to do it like them to make sure, like, my kids, at least this aspect like me, that I know, oh, I know I got a lot of faults, but this part about me is good, and it's because my parents did this. Is there anything like that? Specifically, you was like, oh, I want to parent like that, like my parents.
How do you describe it? My mom was very loving. That's a big thing. Love is a thing. They're very family oriented, so that's a big thing, is being part of the family. I guess the thing that I like the most is they were all hard workers. Like, right. my dad wasn't really around because he was in the military, so he was always working. So he was gone in the morning, come back late at night. Sometimes he would go to the field, so I wouldn't see him for a couple of days. So he was always pretty much gone, but he was a hard worker. Like, I know for sure he was a hard worker. Like, he was good. Like, they had me at 16, I think, 16, 17. So my dad, like, literally, his friends came up with money to say, yo, we're going to give you money so, you know, you can handle it. My dad was like, no, like, I made something. It's my responsibility. I'm just going to join the army. So I know my dad was a hard worker. My mom, which is all mothers, I believe, is if they're what they're supposed to be, was a hard worker. Like she went to school. She took care of me. She worked two jobs. She got her MBA. So my mom was a hard worker. So I think what I take from my parents the most is, I think that's probably where I got the drive, is that they were hard workers. Like, they didn't just sit around, I ain't gonna do shit. Like, your dad got that, or your mom got that, I'm chilling. And like, not take care of the house, or not take care of
kids. Well, make sure your kids seeing that same drive in you that you saw in your parents. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, so I think, so long story short, I think the drive. The thing that I learned, you didn't ask this question, the thing that I learned that I didn't like was one of the major things is, and I know it wasn't his fault, but my dad was never around. So I didn't have him to play basketball with. Like, maybe once in the blue moon, but not really. I didn't have him to go to certain things or certain events. So it was just, it was the presence wasn't there. Like, my dad thought, I can pay for things and he'll be cool with that. But like, he gave me his car to drive, or he gave me money to go to a movie or whatever. But the thing that, like I say with my girls, is that you remember the memories. You don't remember, you don't, like, although they're good, the presents are cool, I'm not going to remember what my dad bought me like 12 years ago, 13 years ago. I don't remember. Like, he'll have to remind me. But I remember he wasn't there for certain things, not on purpose, but just I want him to be. But for my girls, I'm there every gymnastics, every meet that I could be. I make sure that I'm present. Like, when my son plays football, I don't like going to football games. I really don't. Like, especially if their team was not good at first. So every game was a loss. So I was like, son, I don't want to do this. Like, I know your mom's going to be there every game. I don't want to do it. I was like, tell me what game is important to you, and I'll make sure that I'm there.
And for
then,
that.
And then he was like, all right, cool. So then he told me, and the things that he told me was important, I did. But then the next season, I went every game anyway, because I don't think it was a dig, but I know he said that he was thankful to his mom because she went to every single game. So I don't think it was a dig. But I said, okay, cool. I'm going to go.
It's something he felt like, you know, because he's like, I feel you.
I said, but I'm going to go. So I'm going to go to every single game too. I'm going to do that too. So, but it's like that. Like, I'll be where you need me to be when it's important to you. And if it's not, then we'll just have to work around, because maybe there's some shit I got to do. But that was the thing. I wanted to make sure that I was there when I was supposed to be, and they remember that. And then I wanted to make sure that they were, you know, that they were driven, like they have drive. Because I'm a dreamer, which works, because their mom is a realist. She's a planner. So they have both sides. Like, they have someone that is very strategic the way it isn't supposed to be, and someone that just dreams. So I tell them, like, yo, if it's something you want to do and you believe in yourself, you go do it. Like, you're not supposed to do one thing, or you're not supposed to be set this way in life. Like, whatever your mind can imagine, if you plan it out and you really want to do it, I can pretty much guarantee you'll do it in some capacity.
Not for that. You got to push yourself. Because, I mean, dreaming is just the first step to planning, and a dream and a plan, the only difference is what a goal inside. A goal and a dream is the same thing with a plan. So,
like, you've seen it, because you know me from when we started getting together wrestling. I told you I wanted to do wrestling shit. We started doing it. Are we the number one wrestling channel? Are we better than World Culture? Numbers wise, no, but went from 400 subscribers to about 14 now, 14K. So that happened. Then I said, yo, I think we should do some more DC shit. Did that. That channel did what it's doing. We all talked. We said, hey, why don't we make our own comic world? We wrote a comic novel, made our own characters, books on Amazon. We sold like 50 copies. Like, so I believe, I mean, I did music, I did albums, I toured, I was in movies, I was in magazines. So I believe if there's something you want to do, if you really have the drive and you really have the passion for it, you can get it done. You might not be like, I'm not Lil Wayne, but I still accomplished stuff musically that I wanted to. You know what I mean? I'm not Leo, Brad Pitt, but I still got to do things that I wanted to do. I'm not in People's Magazines, 50 Beautiful People, what I wanted to be in, but I was in Urban Inc.
No, for sure. I think it's a little bit what you're saying now. Actually, I'm trying to articulate it to words, but there's a little bit of that I think people need. again, as far as dreaming and goals and all that, again, long-term and short-term, big picture, that's always great. I think something I suffered from a long time, and something I'm still working on to this day, but I always saw the bigger picture. The little picture, like, oh, I'm not worried about this little stuff. But it's like that big picture is made up of a bunch of little pictures. You gotta celebrate the little things sometimes to get to that big thing. Because if you wait to that big thing to celebrate, again, sometimes you aim it for the moon and you land amongst the stars, and now you're in some stars and you don't want to celebrate because it's not the moon. And the stars might be as far as you reach it, which is great for a lot of people. Some people never see the stars, and you didn't celebrate not only none of the little stuff, now you're not celebrating the stars. What'd you reach the sky for, really? The sky's supposed to be a limit. You up here, you didn't get exactly what you want. Now you're unhappy, but people will kill for what you have. So I do think that's a very big thing. Again, yeah, shooting for big things, but you should definitely always, like, celebrate the stuff along the way.
There's two things I learned, like what you just said. Two things I learned on the way. So one is, like you said, to enjoy the journey. A lot of people don't do that. They just, they're waiting, and it may never come. So every little thing that you did accomplish, you didn't celebrate, you didn't feel good about it at all. So you feel like you failed, and you really didn't. You just didn't enjoy it. And depending on what you're doing and where you're trying to go, it's very strenuous. So you have to take those moments to enjoy. You have to be like in the moment, enjoy what's happening, because it goes by kind of quick. The second thing is, like you said, the overshooting. I believe to get to where you want, you should set small goals first. Like, not I want 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. This is just an example because we're on YouTube. Start off with like, yo, I want to see if I can get 300 subscribers. Oh, shit, I want to see if I can get like 600. Oh, can I get 1K? Can I get to 10K? Can I get to 25K? Mm-hmm. I feel like those small steps will get you to where you want to go, because they're little. So you should eventually hit those to where you feel like, okay, cool, like I am winning. And hopefully you're appreciating what you're doing because they're smaller. Because if we would have just started the wrestling, so y'all say, I want to be big in the world culture, I want to get like 100,000 subscribers.
You have a lot of frustrating talks if that was the case.
Yeah, and we're at 14K, and that's a win because most people won't ever get that. But we did it, you know what I'm saying? But
most people won't even get the channel off the ground. It's one thing we talk about when we go to boxing, especially, you know, a lot of us beginners, because again, I've been in sports all my life, but boxing particularly, as far as like actually training and going to it, this is like, it's been, I don't want to say like 7 months. One of the things we say when we go is, even though I've been going for a while, is the hardest part is going. Because once you get there, you're finna put the work in. You ain't finna show up and now what you people hitting you, all types of stuff. You finna come put this work in. You here now. The hardest part is getting up out of bed like, okay, finna go through hell. I'm getting this job. Let me make sure, eat this breakfast so I can be hungry at the end. I mean, all that. Beating that's the actually a greater accomplishment than looking at your watch or whatever, using the track, you're looking at how long you was in there. The achievement was getting there, because you already knew you was going to get the work in. That's not even hard, because you there, you don't have no choice. Hard was going. So that is that's another way to look at it, but it's a very good point that you always make. Like, yeah, definitely set little goals, celebrate along the way. Because again, if you have that big goal, you can't get to there without the little goals anyway. You might as well celebrate it along the way, and you know, make sure you go along the path. So like guidelines, all that.
Yeah, like what if when we did the book? Because obviously we've been in a stalemate now because shit has happened in life to where we're doing certain things. But right. What if we would have started with the book? And the dream goal obviously is to be animated in some capacity, either be a TV show or right. To be a movie, whatever. Like you know, like Marvel, DC. What if we would have did it, got the first book done, but didn't even appreciate it? Because we're like, okay, but we're not animated yet. Like, we have some great-ass characters that I think you guys have picked. It's Geek Dot Presents Welcome to Wolfhaven. It's on Amazon. But we have some great-ass characters, new characters for, like, today's society, based in Miami, new villains, and it's fire. But if we didn't appreciate what we did there, then it'd be like nothing.
No, I feel that.
But, yeah. So, small steps get to bigger steps and enjoy the journey.
You know what I like about being the voice of God? Hearing all of this, knowing all of this, these stages, you know, I'm glad because you're big bro. These are the stages you needed to go through to get to this ascension. I feel like this is like one of the greatest versions of you that you could have ever reached without knowing it. But you had to go through this journey and go on this journey, you know, and then get your kids in. And then, you know, take these lessons, and in the form of while you're teaching is a good time to be learning about yourself and growing. and you're getting to do that. And yo, next level with the comic novel, man. The ideas pouring out of your head. You said Pac was your guy. Pac did a lot of writing, all right? I'm sure if Pac was here, he'd have wrote a few movies already and maybe even a comic.
See, now the camera don't want to cooperate. Oh, there you go.
There you go. Wolf Haven, son.
I better cop that. It's good. But if I'm being honest, because I believe in the universe. Like, everyone believes in what they believe in spiritually, and that's cool. I'm not here to tell anybody they're wrong or right. Like, nobody knows because we ain't there. But I believe I'm a big person of the universe. I believe it is what it is. It's supposed to be the way that it's supposed to be. I don't think I was supposed to be a musician like Jay-Z and them. I don't believe I was supposed to be Brad Pitt and them. Like, I believe I went through everything for me to be here. Like, I'm able to do exactly what you said. My experiences help me with my kids, and that's who needs me. So I'm able to tell them everything I've been through, the gutter to here, to be like, it's possible, you can do it. Like, all you got to do is put the work in, trust me, and to do what we're doing, the podcast. Like, there's a lot of younger people that need these gems, these keys. There's a lot of older people in our position, our age, that maybe didn't have anyone, big bros, little bros, big sis, little sis, to give them certain things. And they'll take for what they're supposed to take. But I think the experiences were supposed to be for here, not for me to be that person.
Yeah, I feel that. Like, what kind of person would you have been? You know, would you have been that? Would you have gone through that growth if you had, went that other direction?
I don't think so, because when I was doing music, I was in a dark place. And I was very, I wrote from pain. Like, I've never written music from being happy. Like, I've written music to be cocky, but that's, what's the word? That's just to cover me being depressed and me feeling alone. You know what I'm saying? So I've never wrote music from being happy. It's always been pain. So let's say I did blow up. I would have been around drugs, super drugs, like super parties. I don't think it would have ended up the way that it should have ended up. And knowing
me and Kenny got you, son, if you black out on the tour bus, B.
Facts.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying, like, knowing me then, because I always wondered that when I was younger, I used to always wonder, like, if I'm so talented to myself and other people seem to think so, why didn't I go? But being older and reflecting on who I was, I think, depending, like I said, if you believe in God, cool. If you believe in the universe, cool. If you believe in the Greek gods, it's cool. So I always wonder, like, what, but now knowing, I feel like the way I was, I think I would have been very, what's the word? Is it acceptable to the bad shit?
Susceptible, yeah, for sure. You'd been spiraling out of control.
Yeah, it would have been like a story of what could have, like, it would, the E story would have been a talent that had a future that didn't go.
Yo, Kenny, you catch that? The E true Hollywood story.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that. So, I'm an overthinker. I used to hate it when I was a kid. Now it just gives me more things to think about, adventures, and I should probably just start writing now. Sell it to Hollywood. Might be rich at some point. So one of the things I always tell myself, like, that's why I mentioned the jack of all trades thing, because it's something I consider myself too. But it's like sometimes when you talk about, like, you ever think to yourself when you hear like listen to like a history story or about maybe about a rapper or whatever the case, you'd be like, damn, if I was this age in the 80s and 90s, I think I would have got it on a pop it. But you think about yourself, I don't know. My personality now, obviously, a lot of the same stuff that was out there then, but you would have put Kenny in the 80s. I don't know. I've been a bit of a party boy. I don't know if I would have seen Florida in the
80s. We would have ran shit. So that's my era.
I mean, the thing is, you always say it's going to be different. So that goes back to what Chance is saying about, like, as far as, like, doing what you did and having to be where you were and going through what you went through and never be, like, yeah, you stopped through music, but music was never going to be, like, your thing. I could definitely feel that because I ain't the oldest, but, I've been around the block. And it's funny because when you talk to people, more people you talk to, again, I feel like I've had a pretty interesting life, especially talking to a lot of people. I've, you know, my especially my female friends, you know, they all inside. So you start talking to them about life, and they're like, I don't know, your life seems pretty interesting. I think my life pretty boring. But you talk to other people who've been like outside, you're like, okay, there's still some growth here, because you know sometimes personally I feel like I ain't where I want to be, and I don't see the road exactly how to get to where I want to go. But then you think about, hey, there's a lot of people. Them bumps in the road is crazy, and you'll never believe. And you can look at somebody and be like, well, I mean, this guy got it made. And he start telling you what he's been through to get there. You're like, oh, okay. It's never that simple, you know? So I do feel that for sure.
Yeah. I don't want it to be on the dark side now, but I'm just saying, like, that's what I think. Like, I just knew how it was. I don't think it would have ended well. So I think it was all for a reason.
I think that's a perfect place to close it out. There's a lot of keys in here.
Yep, there's awesome keys. Some of y'all that took this long journey, I appreciate y'all, because it's been an hour and 30 minutes. Probably with some editing, because we have some technical difficulties. It might be 125 or something like that. But yeah, man. I mean, I appreciate how y'all watched, because some of y'all knew me, so this might be cool for y'all. Some of y'all didn't, so hopefully it's still cool for y'all. I always enjoyed my bros here, you know, shooting the shit. You know what I mean? So, you know, these are my brothers. They should be y'all brothers now too. So hope y'all enjoyed the podcast. Next episode is either, I believe it's gonna be the Kobe that we dropping. Still missing Mamba. Then after that, we're gonna get together and do Who Can Use the N-Word. We'll have guests and stuff on.
Everyone and no one. Hot take.
Yeah. And then we'll have guests on, like I said, but yeah, we're just jumping off. We had this before. It was a Chance D-Word podcast. We were like 40 episodes in, so this ain't our first time go around. If y'all thinking, well, we only see 2-3 episodes, they probably ain't. We've been here. We just rebranded, restarted. If you check the joints, I'm starting to put some old clips that we had or some old podcasts that there were jewels. And we appreciate y'all. So just like, share, subscribe, do what you do, put in your comments, because we read the feedback. If there's something you want us to do, some topic you want us to talk about, someone you would like us to interview, maybe we can get to them. Put all that, get the book. Geeked Up presents Welcome to Wolf Havens on Amazon. Check out our comic order. It's fire. We got merch. It's in the description box. We got the Patreon support. You know, that's all for me. I let them do what they do. My dudes killed it today. And then I'll give all shots out and we'll be going. You know, every time I say that, you guys just both pause.
We never know who's going to go first. We need like a official
order. Referral system, yeah.
Again. It's the Be Yourself podcast, so go out there, be yourself. You know, again, if you feel like you need to be, like, not yourself, that means either you're hanging with the wrong people, you're not true to yourself. Pick which one of those is your problem. It looks inside yourself a little bit, and then do some outside looking, too.
Word. Yo, real quick on a football note, because, woo, we getting back. Yo, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm going to tell y'all right now, temper your expectations. As a Dolphins fan, my man Kenny, yo, I pray for Tua's health, because y'all going to be fun as hell to watch, even if we got to deal with y'all. You know, I want to win, but y'all going to be really fun to watch as a football fan. Chance, bro, I told you already, Bryce the best player in the goddamn game. Y'all got him. Like, I wanted y'all to get him. I was hoping y'all would get him. And, you know, y'all got something to build on for a while. So temper the expectations, but at the same time, yo, be excited. And hey.
For a long time missing football, you better enjoy it while it's on TV. It'll be gone before you know it again. 20 straight weeks coming your way, though.
Like you said, Ken, we out here. It's going to be one of those here.
Need that.
Like I always said, where the name came from? Be yourself.
Through the money, designer, the drip. Don't got a cap on my spirit. Let's get better on myself.